Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to Scream Queen, a podcast about scary movies.
That was a lot, and I don't approve of that intro from people who aren't typically depicted in scary movies.
You love that shit. You love that. You love my extra shit. How are you doing this week, Dre? What are you watching? What are you listening to? What are you getting into?
Well, first off, you know, I low-key love that shit, but you need to, like, warn a bitch.
You don't even have your headphones in because you don't want to fuck your earrings up or whatever.
You can't even see. You couldn't see. let's see. This week, well, we got this idea. It was mentioned to us from our producers that a fellow podcast on Domino Sound, that would be Black Millennial Marriage, they decided to get a Google Voice for and have fans call in, and they, you know, so we decided, you know, we're going to go ahead and take that idea because we think it's really great and we want to hear from you guys and get more connected. And Tommy's question, go ahead and present them with that question.
Yeah, so I was wondering, like, because, you know, sometimes the theater, I know I'm a jumpy ass bitch, and I'm just curious, like, what's the scariest you've ever been in the theater? You know what I mean? Like, tell us a story, paint us a picture. We want to know. Because I've had to vomit in the theater a couple of times, unfortunately. One of them was an Event Horizon, and that shit is still fucked up. You can't fight me. That shit is fucked up. And then one time it was, and I still know what you did last summer after Jack Black Rastafarian ass got his self cut up with Pink and Shears. And I did have to go and excuse myself for a minute and go to the bathroom. But what is the scariest experience that you've ever had?
The way you said that, I had to go and excuse myself, kind of sounded like you had to go, like, pleasure yourself to see in, like, Jack Black and Dread.
The thing is, like, that's what you heard because that's how you are. Because that's what you would have done.
Because I hang out with you too much.
I think there's, like, a white screen over here. You're projecting. You're projecting is what you're doing right now.
I don't have those stories. I mean, I've definitely had... I don't have any, like, to the point where I'm that petrified in a theater. But I've always wanted that. I hate when they always promote films. Like, they do that they did that with Blair Witch. They did that with most recently, not most recently, but, like, Hereditary. And then before that, there was a couple other things, but people, they're passing out, throwing up in the theater. And I'm like, okay, I can't wait to experience whatever they're talking about. And then I go and it's like, it ain't like that.
What is the scariest that you've ever been? And don't tell me you don't get scared, because you do get scared. You don't show it like me.
In a theater, I ended up seeing a screening by myself of The Ring when it first came out, and that really fucked me up. Like, that was like... And actually, you know, I wasn't by myself. There was one other person way up in the theater.
Oh, no.
But we were both just like... And I kept looking at this person, that person, like, kept looking back at me. I'm like, are you still there? I'm not here by myself, right?
Damn.
And that was terrifying.
Yeah, like, I don't know that I could have handled myself.
Bitch coming out of a TV, like, through the theater, like, it was a lot. So I was like, low-key, I don't know who he was, but he was kind of my guardian angel, that man.
Connection.
That's the closest, though.
When we used to be able to be inside with people. So please tell us your story. Our Google number is 619-289- Yes, 289-9052. I also had a 619 number for way too long once I moved to New York. It was like 10 years in, and I was like, I guess I should get a 347.
Nah, I haven't gotten rid of my 619. That's because you're a traitor, and I ain't getting rid of that. I don't forget where I come from, so
I can't help. I can't stop forgetting. I keep forgetting.
Don't start that shit.
Things will never be the same again.
I'm also, so I'm excited for that. And please, guys, actually use that number.
I would like to hear from you, the dulcet tones of your golden throat. Come on.
Yeah. On the podcast, you know, because yes, we need to put you out there. And other than that, there's a new anthology series coming out from Blumhouse that looks pretty good. At least one of the screen cap I saw of one of the films, it's called like Black Box, and it has Felicia Rashad in it.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, and it's got,
because I saw it ambiently sort of like on Instagram stories and stuff like that, but I didn't actually get into it. What is this all about? What's going on?
I don't really know much about it. There's a trailer out for the whole thing. I didn't watch it yet, but Mamadou Athi. He was also in Underwater. He was in The Get Down, El Jerome. He was in Uncorked most recently with Courtney B. Vance, who's coming up in our Lovecraft Country. But I saw Felicia Rashad, and I'm just like, okay, so I'm sold in a horror film? So Claire Huxtable going fucking mental? Okay, I'll take it.
Wait, is she, do we know what she plays yet?
She looks bad. She looks like I think I saw like a white lab coat, I want to say.
Okay.
And I want to say, like, she's leaning over Mamadou, and he looks scared, and she looks evil. But that face, like, I just can't deny that face. She kind of looks like my mama. So I'm just like,
oh. How is Nita?
Nita's good. Yeah, Nita's good. I got to make Nita sit down. She doesn't know how to chill the fuck out at all. I don't care if she hears that either. You don't
know. Wait, I thought you said Magneto.
Oh, I should call her Magneto.
Magneto. Oh, you know what? You know what I had for dinner, though? I had that pork and some of that bread. Here's the thing. Dre came by my place and dropped off a care package. And I've been trying to make this pork last. Y'all, it's really hard because I want to eat the whole thing, but it's like, no, I've got to put little portions out for myself. And then this heavenly bread. Thank you for that, Drea. You've ruined me on pork. I can't have any other without comparing it to that one.
I seasoned that with my dad, and then we slow roasted that thing for like 13 hours. Slow smoked it, I should say. But yeah, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm. So wait, what else have you been up to watching?
I could get into other shit that I'm watching, but you know, we can save it for next time. And I'm actually very excited to get in just to, you know, the things that we want to get into. So
yes.
I think we should just jump into the main discussion. So let me just give a quick rundown of what we're going to do, and then Teebs will give us the first. So first up, we're going to be talking about The Rental. That's Dave Franco's new directorial debut. After that, we're going to be talking about, we saved this recording for tonight. We literally just finished watching it, but Lovecraft Country by Misha Green.
Like a half an hour ago. It ended a half an hour ago, and we're just like, let's get on this motherfucking mic.
Yeah. So, and we have that coming up. And then our Scream Queen of the Week is Miss Lupita Nyong'o and Little Monsters.
Miss Audrey Caroline. Mm-hmm. What a cute little name.
So let's get into it.
The Rental, Dave Franco's directorial debut. I want to say it was also written by him and Joe Swanberg. And shout out to cinematographer Christian Springer, who also did Atlanta. I found a lot of this movie very visually arresting. And when I looked it up, I was like, oh, of course, like that makes sense. So two bitch-ass couples decide to go to this bitch-ass Airbnb on the beach. And there are some dumb white beaches in this movie, let me tell you. And then, of course, like the one woman of color who gets gaslit into not believing that she's experiencing racism, and then like infidelity and all these other things. But then, you know, it's ultimately about privacy and some other stuff. I gotta say, though, I kind of liked it.
Oh, yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, I enjoyed myself. I mean, it's basically like this Airbnb, right? And then they've got these cameras in the shower, right? And then they're just like, oh, these perverts are watching us jack off. And then there's like this racist dude who like owns the Airbnb, right? And then our girl Sheila Van, tries to tell him like, listen, I tried to rent this Airbnb. My last name is Iranian.
No, and only good, no. Only good, like legit good and powerful scene in the movie up until.
Yeah.
I mean, the only reason I also hate the movie because I like the movie, but the movie could have been so much more if they, you know, they'd done what they should have done. But anyway, we'll get beyond that, I guess.
I got to say that, what's the name of that little thug?
I forget his real name, but he plays Lip in Shameless. He's always Lip to me. I've been watching
Jeremy Allen
forever.
White. Jeremy Allen White, that's his name. So anyway, Jeremy Allen White, he's very short and he's got a short fuse, but sometimes you want somebody to defend your honor in a bathtub, you know what I'm talking about? So these couples go on this Airbnb because like two of the people, they're not together. Sheila Van and Dan Stevens, they're not together, but they're business partners, right? Even though it opens up on them like super hugged up. And I think initially I thought they were one of the couples, but they're just business partners. They close this deal. They decide, let's go to the like Airbnb on the beach. Sheila Van tries to get it. Her last name is Iranian. The guy who owns it says, no, 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 I don't want that shit. Dan Stevens does it. He's a white man. The guy says, yes, 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 I want that money. There's like low-key antagonism. I got to say, and then the first night, you know, they bring out the drugs, like, let's have fun. And the three of them, everyone but Alison Brie decides they want to get fucked up and get drunk. And then Jeremy Allen White, little thug ass, he drinks too much and he gets taken out. So then Sheila Van and Dan Stevens are hanging out in the hot tub. These longtime business partners who have-
In a hot tub.
Yes, they have this low key-
Gonna make you sweat. Gonna make you wet. In a hot tub. In a hot tub. Okay, sorry, had to do that.
And I'm glad for it and I'm here for it. So you get in this hot tub, things get a little bit too hot and heavy. And
there's like a noise, right? And it stops them from going too far or some shit. Or the dog comes back or some shit.
But then they, you know, later on, Sheila Van's in the shower, hot and steamy. Homeboy gets in, they hook up. They pretend like nothing happens later on. So Alison Brie, Jeremy Allen White, they go off for a hike. Sheila Van, Dan Stevens, they stay in the house during the day. And then Sheila Van sees that there's a camera in one of the showers. And then they see that there's a camera in another one of the showers. So they feel like they're being spied on. And they need to find where the tapes are or whatever. Here's the thing, like...
Well, they don't. Well, she feels like that. But he says, because if they get caught cheating, which is honestly a lazy kind of premise. It's like, if somebody's filming your asses and that's... I'm sorry, but you better blow the cover because that's not okay. Or go run up to homeboy's house and go handle it yourself. But...
ultimately, that's why I found it to be such a thin premise, because like you have the upper hand if you find the camera, no matter what, legally. Man, right. You might break up with your partner or whatever, but like that's gonna happen.
You weren't into her to begin with. He gave her shit. Remember, he was I forget what he said to her and Alison Brie in the bedroom before they went on the trip, but he made some comment about he's hanging out with his little brother, his business partner. And he goes, I mean, I don't think, you know, like he's really good enough for her. I mean, first of all, that's just too like on the nose.
That's disrespectful to your partner, by the way, to talking about your brother's girlfriend.
They were just very much trying to lay it out. Like, I thought the way they laid it out, they were going to just blatantly be like, oh, whatever, we fucked. Let's just go get this motherfucker who's taping us and we'll talk about this problem later. But the thing is that this relationship, and I'm like, you don't care about that relationship.
The problem, Dre, is that you have too much common sense. Cause like, okay, yeah, you would do that. But like, I just,
But there's parts, like when she speaks up for herself, they make smart points. Like the Iranian woman, she tells everybody, what the fuck is up with you being able to book this room, but I couldn't book this room. And everybody's like, well, I don't know. I don't understand. And then she speaks up for herself and it makes everybody feel uncomfortable because they don't want to have to be the ones.
I loved that character. Loved her doing that.
Like, why
I loved
her being smart. That's such a smart and unexpected thing to do. But then you go around and then, you know, ultimately you take your girl out and I'm just like, what was the point of that? You know, like she's so cool, but she just did what and for what? I guess they needed to go further is what I'm saying. Like they should have just been like really balls out with it or coochie out with it. And, I would have been more for that. Like, give me a reason to want these people dead, you know, but, or to feel for them. I don't know. I didn't want to see the woman of color die in this movie. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, I knew from the jump, like as soon as she got in the bath, in the shower with that dude, I was like, please do not punish this woman, A, for infidelity, and B, being the only person of common sense in this goddamn movie. Like, please don't punish her for that. And they did, but like, I guess like the nihilism of it is that like, nobody gets justice, I guess, in this movie.
They don't go further enough with that. I like that idea, and I love movies that do that when like the bad guy wins, but I get that that's what they went for. That's mm-hmm. ultimately what this film is trying to be. And the final, I mean, I'm gonna get into the whole ending, but the ending and like the credits, like I really like what they really take you into it. Like this person's been, you know, it's common practice, basically.
It's pathological.
And there's more to it. And it's not who you think it is. And it's something, you know, there's some other shit going down. And also they set this up to be like, this could just go on for several. This could be a whole anthology of movies.
Yeah. It could be like the new Saw or whatever.
We can get a prequel. We can get a sequel, some other shit. And I'd be happy with it. You want to see who this kid is.
I gotta say, it's notable in the horror genre in general because we got a final dog. You know, not a final girl this time.
I forgot a final puppy. Poor baby.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say Alison Brie on drugs was, that was pretty good.
And I related to her so much. That's been me before. Like where I, not that I chilled out, but I was ready to go. Like I've gone out on like trips with friends. And everybody has like one night in them to like get it going. And then the next day they all want to nap. I'm like, we didn't come out here to nap, bitches. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And, you know, I'm just like, well, okay, I'll just do it by myself then. Like, so that's, I've been there before, you know, but so, and it was.
Insight into you every day.
Huh?
I said, I'm getting a little more insight into you every day.
I mean, well, if you only could have known me, you weren't around me. You knew me back then, but this is, I mean, this is a good 8-9 years ago, but those were the days. But I know that mostly pissed me off more than them even cheating on her. Like nobody would party with her on top of it.
Aww, that
and
was
they
so
wouldn't
sad.
Go on a hike with her. Like, damn.
And then she took off and got the first one brained by a fucking hammer or whatever that shit
and
was.
That's the thing. Something very interesting about a director killing off his wife in a movie. Although it was done off camera. I don't know what happened to it. I mean, she got brained, but yeah. And it was really messed up how they did Josh, like just right in the temple. That one was good though. I really liked that, but it was fucked up.
And I was like, this is the thing about Sheila Van's character in this movie is that she actually had all of the instincts of a good final girl.
Mm-hmm.
You remember like she threw her shoe out the window so that dude would think that she had jumped out. Then she like goes down. She is in the mist or whatever. I also really, really liked the visuals of that scene where she gets to the bottom of the stairs and runs through the house and tries to grab the keys or whatever. And it's like in the back patio or where the it's like a long tracking shot where she's like in by the hot tub and that guy comes kind of behind her. Like that just as a visual moment I was like really into. And then she like tumbles down the stairs or whatever. I took issue with, you know, when they show the surveillance video of the two people cheating and Alison Brie happens upon it upstairs, he gets into the shower in his underwear.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that shit. And that was not believable.
I only watched the movie once. So I think you saw it a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I guess you could chop it up to he's, drunk, they're high, whatever.
I'm sorry. Those chonies is off. Okay.
They got off in the, no, they didn't think about that. That's pretty funny. You picked up on that.
I was looking for the D. Chase, I was looking for the D.
That's what was going on there. That whole chase scene was, that was straight out of I Know What You Did Last Summer. That was Sarah Michelle Gellar. Getting, mm-hmm. like chased all through the house. I'm like, oh, this bitch is gonna take him all throughout this and then we still gonna see her get killed.
Mm.
And and overall the film did it for me. I would say
we don't see a body. I will say we don't see the body. Mm-hmm. We don't see the body, so there's potential
if the body of who
of Sheila Van. of her character. She falls.
Oh yeah, they can bring her back. That's true. That's true. I got to go back and watch it again. But yeah, she could come back, and that would be cool if they thought to do that. But I don't. What happened to her again? Did she get thrown over something? Thrown out of?
No,
something?
She just falls off the cliff. She like oh, because yeah, it's yeah, all she Missy. She just falls.
Oh yeah, that was fun. I like that one. I forgot about that. That was fucked up. I'm fucked up, but that was fucked up. Yeah. You don't see her go. You don't. I think there's a huge. That's probably exactly what is going to happen. There's going to be another film. She's going to be in it. She's going to be on the hunt for this dude. Really smart idea. Also, just last thing for me is that use of that mask. I've seen that mask before, and it was in a Harmony Korine film that was really annoying called Trash Humpers. It came out years ago, and it was just like just a bunch of random footage that he took of. It doesn't make no fucking sense.
Sounds about right.
Ooh, but there's a bunch of people in there. This is skater shitty friends wearing those masks and like humping things and skating around, and it's just like very, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. And Harmony I was like, Korine, oh, I know that mask. And it traumatized me thinking about that. But it was very, very good reinvention of it. I appreciate it.
I found it terrifying.
Yeah.
I also didn't expect it to take that. I was honestly surprised that there was like a third party involved. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought for sure it was just.
It was layered. I could complain again about the main flaw for me, but. There was thought behind everything, and it they better bring her back though.
Yeah,
how but did I enjoyed you put it. That in my head. You planted
I'm,
that.
I'm
seed.
Just saying. I'm just saying. If there's a way to save this movie for you, it's that they didn't find the body.
They didn't show Alison Brie die, and they didn't show her body either.
They
so.
Did. They there was a little, and there was like a thing. I remember.
They did.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't show her dead.
They didn't show them. They didn't show him killing her. They showed her unconscious with
that's
a
what
wound.
I'm saying. You didn't see her die. Like you saw her on the ground, and I remember like that's what I remember. And she's just knocked out. So I'm just saying there's a potential for her to be back. Dan is done.
No, Dan and Josh are done.
They're done.
Yeah.
But the girls might come back.
Okay.
I'm like, why would you just take your wife out? If you're gonna kill your wife off in a film, like freaking I mean, might as well go for it. You know, if she's down for it.
Good overall. I felt good about it. I thought it was worthy, could have used some improvement, but you know, when you have white men writing about the conflict of a woman of color, you're probably going to have an unsatisfying ending.
He tried. All right.
Should we get into part two?
Yeah. So I've been like really looking forward to this for a minute. I don't remember exactly when I first saw the trailer for it. But it's been some months now. And it's like, I see that little teaser and then COVID happens. And I'm like, so I just lost all hope for this coming out anytime soon. Thought we'd get it next year, year after, maybe never.
Because it's just so striking. Like the preview was so striking visually. I felt the thrill. I saw the beauty.
But we'll get into it. Let me do the intro first. Mm-hmm. I want to, before you give me all yours, Tommy, I just wanted to first just say that Lovecraft Country, based on the short, it's a series of short stories called Lovecraft, developed by Misha Green. She did Underground, that intertwined Journey Smollett. And then now we got Jonathan Majors. Jonathan Majors was also in The Last Black Man in San Francisco. And he was also in, let's see, Defy Bloods that just came out recently.
Body, oddy, oddy.
Courtney B. Vance, Michael K. Williams, who we just covered recently in Tommy's pick for The Purge Anarchy. And then we got, and looking cute as hell is this like earthly figure, Jamie Chung, came down from this spaceship. And I was like, I wasn't ready for that.
I wasn't either.
So this is about Atticus Freeman. Atticus, his last name is Freeman, but this is Atticus Black. But Atticus Freeman joins his friend Letitia and his uncle George to embark on a road trip across 1950s Jim Crow America in search of his missing father. Mm. So Basically, they just HBO Max has dropped this shit tonight.
We've only seen the first episode. Yeah. Full disclosure.
I plan on going ahead and just reading the short stories because I just really want to see how well they, or not even well, how well they match up, but where they match up.
Yeah.
And from what certain articles that I've read, I try not to get too many like biased opinions or whatever, but I just wanted to see like what the overall take was out there. But it seems like it wouldn't ruin it for me because I really am invested in this idea. This is like everything I want in horror, this film. I remember this show. It's real life horror meets make-believe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you're dealing with everyday racism and something that's always been topical in my book, you know, but is so on the point, you know, right now in our times. So yeah, well, how did you feel about the opening of this show, Tommy?
Okay, so a lot of thoughts racing my mind. First of all, I just want to say that so the first episode is called Sundown. And basically, like, the monsters are these, like, vampire sort of creatures, very sensitive to the light. They infect other people. But our lead up into this is that our three heroes are stopped by the cops and told that they're not just in a sundown town, they are in a sundown county. And they've got to get out before they have to cross the county line.
Beginning of the show, though. I was asked, like, what did you take from, like, the opening sequence with the, you know?
Wait, like, just say that again.
I meant what did you feel about the opening of the show from, like, how the story opens up with him on this bus? We're taken into this H.P. Lovecraft world, and then they're blending in, like, right from the get-go, you know, modern-day conflicts. With this, and you're learning about this sci-fi nerd. I mean, I just wanted to know your take on that. His hero, you see number 42, Jackie Robinson comes in out of nowhere.
Killing like, a Cthulhu or whatever.
Yeah, it was a whole lot going on in that one segment, you know? I mean, because at the end, we get to as soon as sundown happens and the chapters, you know, I really want to get into that too, but.
I thought the sort of dream sequence before he wakes up on the bus that shows shows the main character sort of on the battlefield, and then there's like spacecraft, and then there's like Jamie Chung beaming down, and then there's like Cthulhu, and then there's Jackie Robinson, and there's like all this. I thought it was like in writing, at least what I know is that like you have to set people up for the experience that they're going to have. And that just being so crazy, I was like, we are down for anything. Like, anything could literally happen at this point. Like, Jackie Robinson batting himself through a Cthulhu. Like, okay, lady coming down from space, okay. Like, at first it just seemed like a straight up, like, 1917 type, like, World War One thing. And then it, like, upends on itself. So I was here for the weirdness because I was like, okay, this show is swinging for the fences. Like, we are going to be taken through a journey that's, like, story and visual and black, and I'm here for it.
Absolutely. And, of course, you know, because Watchmen just came out, people are going to draw comparisons. This, you know, this was written, I think, in 2014. And, you know, so, and what they're doing, like, they've only slightly upticked certain things in, like, the workings. Like, it was supposed to be like blatantly in H.P. Lovecraft's face, like sci-fi is very white, and yeah. So they wanted it to be super black.
That because like H.P. Lovecraft is like very problematic. Like that man has got some racist history and racist writing, and I love this interpretation. I love the fact that like okay, so I was listening to the Lovecraft Country Radio, which is the official HBO podcast that's hosted by Ashley Seaford, one of my friends, and Shannon Houston, who's a writer on the show, and they just like opened it being like, look. Like the history of most, like a lot of people in this country is of horror. You know what I mean? Like the history of being, the history of genocide, the history of indigenous theft, the history of black slavery and black death. Like that's horror. Like we live through horror. Our ancestors have lived through horror. Our parents and our grandparents and our great grandparents, they've lived through extinction level events. Like fuck COVID. You know what I mean? Like, they lived through actual fucking shit. And so, like, I love it when people like us get to tell stories like this, because it's taking a genre with a history that excluded us from it and being like, okay, I see what you did there. That's real cute. But now let me show you what I can do.
Absolutely.
Here for it. Love to see it.
Yeah. I really like that. There was a segment in it. I think it's right when they go to, yeah, it's the Midwest segment where they, when they start their journey, and instead of music, but in the background, it's a James Baldwin speech.
Oh yeah. And that was so good.
You know, and that's a speech I've listened to time and time and time again. And you know what? I could give you specifics, but just, you know, start with any James Baldwin and you'll be fine. You know, start with The Fire next time if you have to, but start with any James Baldwin. I just thought that was so powerful. And that literally narrates the, can you hear my mother laughing in the background? She is loud as fuck. Jesus Christ. Can you hear her?
I heard a little, I heard a little bit.
Okay. Anyway, trying to be all like, philosophical and shit. She's over here cracking up.
Why are you hating on Black Joy right now?
That's what I'm talking about. Why is she hating on my Black? Why, she is so loud and so distracting. I need to she's getting on my nerves right now. If only you could hear what I'm hearing. I found that very poignant. I found like that is probably the best way to encapsulate this show. And yes, I was just blown away by it. They only kind of hinted at certain things the whole episode. And that last, you know, when you talk about sundown and they're told they're in a sundown county, of course I'm thinking the town that dreaded sundown. That movie just popped into my head right away. Mm-hmm. But just that instead of your normal chase sequence being run out of town by some monster, I mean, it's a real monster. Yeah. And you know, and he's on their tail, you know, and then they're face to face with another monster, you know, because they have to get out the whole goddamn county, like you said. And yeah, it was, I was listening to the show with my friend, and every time like these stressful points would come up, I just could hear him breathing heavy on the other side of the phone. Like, ugh. Every time he heard the N word get dropped, mm-hmm. You know, he was like,
But that, like, that racism is the real horror, you know, and that, like, this takes that and then just, like, puts a monster on top of that, you know, which I think
real horror, make believe horror, yeah,
because it's
monster,
like
make believe monster.
It's not like we need this to tell. It's not like we necessarily need to tell each other this because it's like we know what that horror is. But it's like when you turn that into a monster that then is also chasing white people. When you're like, oh, you thought you were playing here. Like, because directly before the monsters come out in sundown, they have the three heroes. They take them out of the car. They put guns to their heads. They're like, have them on the ground, their faces in the dirt. And it's like real fucking terror. And then it's like, okay, I love the fact that this show and this episode was like, well, let's just like, if this is the terror that you give, let's see when we put that terror on you too.
Well, I mean, as soon as they walk into them damn woods, I already knew what the fuck was going to happen. Like you didn't tell me twice. So yeah, they surround these three people and then their asses get surrounded. And you know, their arms are getting torn off and
heads getting bitten off.
You know, shoulders getting ripped off, people turning into shit. It was amazing. I loved it. It was dope.
So what do you think this birthright is? Because the reason why the main character is looking for his father is that he's disappeared from his apartment in Chicago and writes him a letter that says like, your birthright is in, you know, Lovecraft country over there.
Well, it has something to do with those two Aryan ass looking white people and whatever is going on with them. They're hip to the fact that we're, you know, just people of color, we're fucking precious and we rule all basically. Mm-hmm. And they've been trying to keep us from that secret. I think it's just them trying to keep them from, it's what's happening right now. It's been going on in society forever. They don't want you to know what your true power is, what you possess, what you embody. And You know, they just want to make sure if they can keep you distracted from that and you don't feel special, you don't feel worthy, you know, that's all. They're just a distraction. We're going to lead you to this and thank us for letting you find out your birthright. Like, how is that your goddamn place to know my motherfucking birthright? So, well,
and there were so many,
they're sirens or whatever.
What before we get to the monsters, the like sci-fi monsters, there are so many monsters already in the show. And I'm thinking specifically, like, you know, when that guy's like leading them on the Green Book tour and he's like, let's go to this restaurant, and they show up there and the fire department gets called on them. And then like, they're trying to kill him. You know, like the fire department's called them shooting on, they have this big shootout. They're like a high speed chase. And Jurnee Smollett did that. She was the driver in that chase, and really, you know, got them to safety. But then we get this like silver car with that Aryan lady in it that like the fire department boys kind of like run into. They didn't smash into it, right? Did they hit like a barrier or like a force field or something?
That car.
Okay, it was just like a sturdy ass car.
Well, I mean, we don't know what's up with that car.
What is up with that car? What is going on? What's happening with this car?
Yeah. I mean, that could be, yeah, it's possessed. It's a possessed car. That film, I mean, this show has a bunch of different film throwbacks in it. Like, I was catching all kinds of shit like that in there. When they're getting chased, that reminded me of Duel, that one of Stephen King's, or was it Stephen King or Steven Spielberg's first, is that his directorial debut? I think that might
be. It was a Steven of distinction.
Well, I think it's Steven Spielberg, but he was like his made for TV film, and it's this like family getting chased by a semi truck in their station wagon, you know, and it's for no fucking reason or whatever. I mean, just the, you know, there were some other moments in there. Just little things that kept sticking out to me, but like a devil car. So that's Christine, you know, and it goes on and on. There's so many damn references, and I'm a nerd for that shit. So like, I was just eating it up. Besides that, I'm trying to think like what really, I mean, yeah, Jurnee was getting it. Her sister is so dope.
And, that was, you know, such a good sequence.
And they got a whole lot of shit going on between them, but they, you know, there's love.
I mean, the thing is, like, ultimately what stuck out for me was family, mm-hmm. you know, complicated family relationships, because, you know, main character and his dad, like, they've had some, because the dad is an alcoholic. He talks about, like, the bar owner kept talking about, like, you came in and out of here trying to get him off my bar.
The bar owner was getting his dick sucked by a man in the alley.
He's like, where's the guy with all the jewelry? what keeps coming up to me is, like, complicated family thing, right? And then, I can't remember the name of the character, but who's making the Green Book thing, but, you know, he has, like, some physical disabilities from having to go on the road and figure out places that are safe for Black folk to visit in the South. And his wife is like, I write the best reviews of these places. I want to go on the road. But he's like very protective of her, right? Because he's like, if they did this to my knee, there's no telling what they would have done to her, mm-hmm. you know? And then like,
yeah, because he's author of another inspired book of the Green Book. That's what he writes. It's not the Green Book. It's an inspired version of it.
Yeah.
And that in itself, you know, I was on the edge of my seat. That made me a million times more nervous than that monster shit. The monster shit was a relief at the end, but, you know, just watching anybody else driving cross country, they don't normally have to take into account somebody might not want me here, and somebody might chase me out of town with a gun.
Yeah.
And somebody I might not make it out of that town.
Yeah.
And, you know, these things still happen today. That's not new. It's not, and it hasn't stopped. You know, I've always wanted to drive cross country. That's always been a dream of mine, to do it by myself. But I always had to think in my head about, I would have to map it out so strategically and be so careful about this, because all it takes is being stuck in the wrong city at the wrong time, you know, and it's just like, and then part of me is also like, fuck that. Like, why shouldn't I be able to experience like this landscape, you know? Like, why shouldn't I get to see that? And, you know, yeah, that really, how could that not strike a chord for me? And, yeah. You know, this is your land, and that was ripped from you. And this is the only land I've ever known that I was told that I was not entitled to. And then you got all these motherfuckers up here talking about, like, you know.
And this is where you can and can't go. And it's like, mm-hmm. you know, I haven't ever had the ambition to go cross country because, first of all, I can't drive. And so, you know, I fall asleep behind the wheel. But second of all, like, I'm not going to go to the wrong gas station.
And yeah, that sheriff's like, how the fuck do you know my name? And it's like that. And that's because if I didn't know your name, like, of course I know your name, motherfucker. Your name is on a list. We all know about your ass. Like, then that's why we know not to come through here.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's also just, probably on your lapel because, like, you've got a badge.
Or so. There's that. Read, motherfucker.
But the third family dynamic that I want to talk about, too, was, like, Journey Smollett, her sister, and this whole thing about her mom, right? Because, like, the thing is, like, Journey's a little bit estranged from her family because she didn't go to her mom's funeral, presumably because there were, like, maybe some kind of illness or abuse or something. We don't know yet. And so when they go to meet up with her family, they're still sore about that. They're like, you didn't go to her funeral. And she's like, well, you didn't live with her. You know, so there's like some complicated grief. And I like the fact that we're given emotionally dynamic characters in something that is straight genre.
Yeah. I mean, I generation to generation, you know, she's being talked to, and I love me some Courtney Vance, but I like that he's playing this old school black man. First, he keeps calling her girl, and she needs to correct him. And she's like, my name is Letitia so-and-so, you know, like, and she breaks it down. But at the end, you know, there's some other, the other outdated practice that still exists to this day. Like, he, you know, when she's getting blessed out by her father about not being at the funeral, and Atticus wants to run in there and go to her rescue, he's like, that's family stuff. That's private. And I'm just like, fuck that. Fuck that. You know, like, I don't give a shit about that. Like, if somebody's being disrespected, I don't give a shit about the dynamics of it. You know, like, there is a way to engage, you know, and, you know, and they are family, ultimately. Like, they all know each other. They know what's going on. But just people pick and choose what they can and cannot get involved with, you know. And I think that goes back, you know, and I think that's what creates a lot of issues in this world. That's why people are so goddamn private, while they're always out just trying to protect themselves and theirs, you know, instead of looking at things as a true community. You know, like, if I see a woman getting accosted or whatever, or anybody, like, I want to know what the fuck is wrong with that situation, you know? So I'm just, there's a lot.
Yeah, because people be like, you know, mind your business. And it's like, well, that's my friend. It also happening right in front of me, and I have no other place to go. So that's now it's normal. All of a sudden my business. I'm sorry.
Basically.
What did you think of Atticus having that standing bath and Jhené was taking his picture? Because that was very sexy.
Is that what stuck out in your head?
Because that was, you know, baby got back. Like,
oh, you a cutie.
It's a very, very, very fit.
Like, Lilo Robo God.
He knows how to wear
it
a t-shirt.
He very nice in them outfits. Yes, he does. I'm trying to think. I don't even think that scene stuck out to me. I'm about to rewatch the show in a minute with my parents, but I'll have to keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, well, 20 points to you if you can make it to the end without falling asleep, because it is your bedtime, so.
Don't be putting me on blast, bitch. Whatever.
Should we get to our screen queen?
Yeah, but I just wanted to, you know, close this out. Like, you know, we're going to give some recaps coming up.
We're going to keep talking about it, because if it's on when we're doing this show, it's going to be inevitable, because, you know, at first it was like, I may destroy you, but, like, this is week to week. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to be talking about it.
So, I'm fucking happy the show exists, and I'm really pissed that I have to wait week to week, but I will be
patient. I know. It looks so good, though. It's just so good. It looks so good. I was scared.
It is so good. You were scared, Rich. Of course. That ain't saying a lot, but anyway. So, watch that shit. Lovecraft Country, HBO.
All right. Thank you for sticking around this long. Our screen queen of the week is Lupita Nyong'o as Miss Audrey Caroline in Little Monsters, the new film, not the old Little Monsters. So Miss Audrey Caroline is in charge of a bunch of kids. They go to this, like, petting zoo type shit, and zombies happen, and she has to keep these little kids alive. And I got to tell you, you know that I have to like a movie a lot when it's a lot of little kids and I'm still like really cool with it. I like, but also like, I found them very endearing. That little asthmatic boy.
Their accents and shit.
Yeah, that's part of it. But that little, I don't know, was he asthmatic, whatever, he's allergic to peanuts, whatever, that one. The one who went out in the Darth Vader outfit, that was so cute. That was so cute.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, yeah, they started the beginning where he walks in to his uncle's girlfriend getting fucked by the landlord or something, and he's like... It's really inappropriate, this film. I love how inappropriate it is.
It really is. Like, it's not for
so
kids.
So many F-bombs, foul.
What was that bitch ass name? Teddy McGiggles. Teddy McGiggles is a bitch
ass. Josh Gad is a piece of shit, and he's really good at it. It's really funny. It's like, I fuck so many moms.
I fuck old moms. I fuck young moms. I fuck married moms. I fuck single moms. I fuck white moms. I fuck black moms. It's like, you are such a piece of shit. I can't wait till you die.
Oh, I loved it.
But I love Miss Audrey Caroline because, you know, she was somebody who was like, she is so virtuous as a character. But then you learn that, you know, she chased Hansen around for years, and like,
well, they say the only bad thing about this film is that they keep singing that fucking Taylor Swift song, Shake It Off, and then she keeps saying, oh, I kept chasing Taylor around, and then she's like Taylor Swift, she's like, no, Taylor Hansen. I'm like, bitch. Anyway,
so she had this past that was like deeply irresponsible and selfish and self-centered, and then she found herself kind of stranded in Australia, and then she decided to get a job looking after kids, and she's so capable, she's so patient, because these little bitches, that one bitch who will talk about putt-putt golf all the time just started screaming, and it was like, you are gonna get all your asses eaten, you little bitch, shut the fuck up. She was just so patient with everybody, and the kind of, and like, shout out to teachers, like shout out to caregivers, like the kind of patience and love you have in order to take care of kids and make sure they don't die. And I'm not just talking about in a zombie pandemic, but just like in general, like that is superhero shit to me.
Also, I don't know if you want to say in the context of kids, y'all are going to get your asses eaten. But anyway,
See, that's where your mind goes, though. That's where your mind goes.
I think everybody's mind's going to go there.
I don't take responsibility. I don't take responsibility for your interpretation. That's all about you. That's all about you.
He didn't mean that.
You
didn't mean that.
Your mind. Your mind.
But only reason I like that kid because he reminds me of Chunk, and he reminds me, he's like Chunk meets something else, and then he gets fucked over like a bunch of times. He gets smushed behind the door that one time. He smashes his head behind the door, And then he like kind of helps out. Like she does have a lot of patience for that little shit. But that kid's not the only one. All the kids are mean to him. I didn't even just dislike that kid. It was like all those little kids all the little boys were. But little homie had a girlfriend. Like he was chilling. Like he didn't care. Like, that's my girl. Don't even worry about it. Don't trip. And he didn't worry. And then he was trying to, he would try to share his snacks. I'm like, I don't eat that. Okay, stop, then, motherfucker. Stop.
The dude who played like the washed up musician, though, when he, okay, so this kid, this little Darth Vader kid, he like has the snack that has like something in it, like peanuts or something that he's allergic to. So there's one EpiPen. And this like ain't shit washed up musician dude, who's also happens to be his uncle, stabs the EpiPen into his own hand, I wanna say, or something.
I think so.
And like, it's just like, oh my God. So you've teamed up the ultra capable Lupita Nyong'o with this washed up, basically child musician, child himself, and he can't. And there's this one really funny part because like he calls her Miss Caroline, like all the kids do, because he's just so immature. And then they're like finding the zombies, and she's like, "You really have to call me Audrey, okay? You have to call me by my first name." I thought that was a really nice touch.
My light just fell off my fucking computer.
Uh-oh.
Hey, everybody, look at my titties.
Hey, titties.
There's some wet-ass titties.
It's this damn heat in this room.
It's so fucking hot here, dude. Oh my God. Like, I can't even. And it sucks because, like, when we're recording, I can't have the air on or anything. So I'm just, like, stewing in my own juices. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I, if I have it on, then you'd see it reflecting in these shiny ass fucking. Anyway, it's long story. Who cares? She looks real poppin' in that yellow.
Oh,
and
she looks so good in it.
Any bright color on brown skin looks real pretty, especially like brown skin. So pretty. Anything else that like stuck out to me in this film? I mean, Josh Gad cracked me the fuck up. He's an idiot, and he was borderline almost obnoxious, but it all worked for me. Didn't overexplain the film. It cracked me up. It was heartfelt. It was foul as fuck. Gross, you know,
hilarious. You know, I also appreciated, and this doesn't happen very often, but usually in movies like this where there's a zombie outbreak, somehow like it exists in a world that zombies are not a cultural item or icon, so nobody knows what to call them or even calls them zombies. And I like the fact they're like, zombies, are they the fast ones or are they the slow ones? They're the slow ones, sir. So it's like, okay, this is a world that actually knew what zombies
they understood
were.
It I mean, it all worked. That's why even the lazy points that don't quite work, it's all threaded together really nicely. The ending scene when they're all like, she's like singing songs to the zombies.
And they're like singing back. It didn't take itself too seriously. It let itself have fun and it let me have fun with it. I liked it. It was a lighthearted zombie romp that I really appreciated. And I love Lupita. I love Lupita. You know what I mean? I'm hashtag poet. Love Lupita in this. And you know, we did Lupita in Us, but like, if anybody deserves to be a scream queen more than once, it's Lupita motherfucking Nyong'o.
Oh hell yeah. I mean, and she gave us variety here. This is polar opposite of motherfucking Us. This ain't nothing like that. She is so straight laced in this film, and she's all the things. I think we're starting, we actually kind of see some of the elements, you know, acrobatics.
Once she gets that shovel and she starts beheading the motherfuckers, she's jumping
hurdles, taking motherfuckers out. She takes on like 50 zombies by herself.
All on her own with just one shovel. Like,
just one shovel. I think it was like 500 zombies she took out.
I heard it was 669.
It was 6,669,000 motherfucking zombies. That's what I heard. Yeah, but the number keeps getting bigger and bigger. I heard she took out zombies that were 69 in each other. I also heard that.
You know what? I heard that too. I heard that on Reddit. Mm-hmm, that was on Reddit. I heard that. But yeah, Lupita, we love you. And we're just so happy to have you as a scream queen once again. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Not really sure what we're going to be covering, but you know, pay attention to our socials. We'll let you know on Instagram when it comes up so you can watch it with us and shout at the screen, hopefully.
All right. And Scream Queen is produced by Alexandra De Palma and Domino Sound.
With theme music by Doc Allison.
I am Drea Wap Washington. Find me on the gram. Hey girl, hey, that's hey girl, hey. H-E-Y-G-R-L-H-E-Y.
My favorite part of that is macaroni in a pot. I'm like, huh. All right then. I am Tommy Teebs Pico. You can find me at Hey Teebs, H-E-Y-T-E-B-S on Instagram.
You can find us on Instagram at Scream Queen Podcast.
And online at ScreamQueenPodcast.com.
Send us some love notes at ScreamQueen@gmail.com. That's S-C-R-E-E-E-M, queen@gmail.com.
And in the scary movie of your life,
you better.
Scream queen. Queen.
Queen. Queen.
Queen.
It's tired. And we did that though.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com. If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.